Welcome to PR360, where every week the brightest minds in public relations, communications, and media discuss the topics and trends you need to know about. PR360 was produced in partnership with Global Results Communications. Now here's your host, Todd Perry.
Welcome back to PR360. My guest today is Don Jordan Jones, the Brand and Communications Manager for the Information Technology Senior Management Forum, an organization that works for barrier-free opportunities for Black technology leaders, innovators, and influencers. She's also the CEO of 2911 Media, which serves businesses and ministries in helping them market their truth. 2911 Media also designs growth strategies to assist in attracting people called to serve through branding, marketing, web, and social media. So, Dawn, is there anything else? Anything I missed?
Nope, that's pretty much it, other than I'm a proud mom of an amazing 19-year-old boy.
Oh, there we go. And as we talked about right before the show, that enjoys using the microwave at 1 in the morning.
Yes. But he does know how to cook. He's got 10 meals under his belt, so.
I feel like there's like three things that you can get right with a kid and they'll be fine in life, and one of them is knowing how to cook. If the Absolutely. Kid can cook, then he's never going to, you know. We'll get into ministries later, but there's something about teaching that man to fish, right?
Fish versus fishing for him, yes. So exactly. We're doing all of that. So I
wanted to talk a little bit about what you do as CEO of 2911 Media, and then also your work with Information Technology Senior Management Forum. So we'll start with the ITSMF. Okay. And so what do you think is the biggest hurdle to increasing the representation of Black professionals at senior levels in technology?
Whew, that's a big one. I think the biggest challenge is exposure and education, but it's also giving equal opportunity. There are a lot of organizations that are just very old school in thinking, and it's the old boys network. And if you're not within that network, then you're not going to be given the equal opportunities. Right. So what our organization does is equip senior Black technologists with the education and the soft skills and hard skills to be able to help them excel in their current position.
Now, what are some of those soft skills?
Some of those soft skills are understanding a big one, and I've gone through one of our academies, the Emerge Academy, which is all women. And so I know some of the soft skills we worked on were executive presence, negotiating up or managing up. So those are some of the skills that typically we're not as well versed in as understanding how to, and I won't say play the political game internally, but may not have exposure or someone to show us the ropes on how to navigate a corporate setting as well to be able to make sure that their voice is heard.
That's interesting because I think, you know, lots of times when we're trained in school, maybe to have a specific skill in technology, but a huge determining factor in making your way up is being comfortable in that kind of environment and knowing how to talk to management and, you know, put yourself out there in an appropriate manner. And that's a very delicate thing and very hard for many people to be comfortable in. So I think that's invaluable, especially if it's somebody coming from a community that's been excluded from that area. It's like you have, you know, things are three times as hard to get to that point because you're talking about barriers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Spreading the word about inclusivity in technology, what types of strategies or appeals are effective when you're talking to these kind of good old boy networks, or when you're communicating to these companies about becoming more inclusive and the value of it, what strategies do you use and what seems to be effective?
Well, I will first say it's a mindset. So if an organization is determined to not be inclusive, there's nothing we can say, do, show them. It's just not going to work.
Right.
However, if an organization is open to the possibilities, then that's what we can do. We have several academies and different types of courses within the organization. One is called Leaders of Color, that we actually go into the organization and do training with with a group. Usually it's about 25, 30 individuals leaders that are in the organization, mixed group of individuals, so not necessarily African-Americans, but then showing them the positives of inclusiveness. I think the thing that frustrates me the most in what I try to find a way from a marketing perspective to help overcome is to understand that when you are inclusive of everybody, that is where innovation takes place. That's where you get the unique ideas of people thinking differently and approaching things differently. And I believe that's why you can go farther faster, right? Because you have collective groups of people that are pulling from different skills and experiences and pouring that into a company.
It's maybe a strange metaphor, but it's like how doctors talk about the synergistic effect of when you combine different drugs or chemicals together in your system, sometimes they, when added together, they have a bigger effect than if you took them all individually, right? Like a great band playing together. When you got four people that are really cracking together, it makes it, you know, feel like eight, or you have the imagination of eight because you have people from all these different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And I could imagine that possibly if someone's just been set in their ways, that could be a difficult thing to communicate, you know? Yeah. So it takes a lot of skill, right?
Yeah. Typically what happens is if there is somebody, and we have a lot of, we call them inside champions, we call them co-conspirators, and there are a lot of people that are not of color that understand the importance of being inclusive. And sometimes all it takes is one champion in that organization, and then they start chipping away
right
at the old school way of thinking. So if there's just one, you know, that can put us in a position to be able to open the doors, at least for the conversation.
Yeah. Well, great ideas can be infective, right?
Very much so. Very much so.
So what's the most inspiring story that's come out of ITSMF?
Wow. There are so many. And in my short tenure, a little bit over 2 years, I think the two things that come to mind like immediately. 86% of our graduates from our academies are promoted within 18 months.
Wow.
Either promoted or change jobs for a higher level or get an increase in salary based on their improved in their work performance.
Wow.
There was one particular individual, and I will not call her name, but she went through the Executive Academy, graduated in a class of 2022, very sharp, had been with the company she was with for quite a while. And then she was invited to our CXO forum.
What's CXO stand for?
CXO is those are preparing people that are going to be in a C-suite position. So it could be a CTO, a CIO, a COO position, or a CEO position. And there were a group that were brought in for a retreat. She came to the retreat, and this is somebody who truly took everything she that she learned and put it to use almost immediately.
Oh, great.
And now she's a global CIO for another company. So I saw that success, and we're talking not even a 12-month turnaround from when she graduated from the executive academy until she was in her new position.
Wow.
So, and I know her pretty well. We actually lived in the same city for a little bit before I moved to Atlanta. And so I got a chance to really get to know her. And it was just so exciting to see that success story. But there are so many. There are so many success stories within our organization of people just going to the next level because they took the time, or their company took the time, to invest in themselves and to grow them.
It's wonderful to see that how effective programs like these can be, and especially if you implement them at large, right? You know, imagine this type of organization, you know, being able to do a lot of great work, and the learnings from them being able to do a lot of great work. But as you're telling me this, there's part of me that finds it upsetting that without these organizations, like, how much talent in this world was not able to rise to where they should be, right? Like, just think of the amount of talent, innovation, just for the benefit, obviously, of the individuals, but society as a whole, through that type of repression or just, you know, lack of communication or whatever it is, right? How much better of a world would this be if there was more of that in the past?
I completely agree. As much as I love of our organization, I wish 28 years ago, our founders didn't have to create this.
Right.
When they came together at a BDPA conference, and there were 14 of them, five of them were women, and they didn't know each other existed.
Mm.
And they were all C-level executives.
Wow.
And so there's like, let's pull together so we can educate, one, get to know each other and support each other. Because that's the basis of our organization. Yes, it's for education, it's for advancement, it's for breaking those barriers, but it's a support network.
Right.
People feel when they come within our organization or come in contact with them, they're home.
Right. Oh, good.
Because they don't have other, you know, typically when a person's in a place, in an organization, there are very few people of color at their level for them to be able to, you know, bounce things off of. And, you know, and it gets really political sometimes. So I wish we didn't have to have it. But now that we do, I believe it offers a safe space for education, for support, for just to recharge. When we do our symposiums twice a year, everybody says that's our time to just come, get recharged, and go back out and do the amazing work that they do with their organizations.
That's fantastic. So let's switch over a little bit and talk about your work as the CEO of 2911 Media. And I was looking forward to this interview because we haven't had anybody on this show, and I've been doing this for a little over a year, that has worked kind of in the faith-based community section. And I find it interesting, the idea of marketing, branding within those types of organizations, because normally when I think about it, it's you know, whoever, you in the pew right there, can you do graphic design, or I come up here and do this? And the idea of an outside person that has the trust of these organizations, I think, is really cool. So what are the biggest challenges that ministries come to you for help with?
A lot of them, especially post-COVID, is making people feel, one, safe to come back into the house of worship.
Okay.
Two, because of COVID, a lot of churches went online. Right. To provide services for their church, for their members, and they didn't come back after COVID. And they may have been like, especially if it's a smaller church that wasn't equipped to be able to shift gears. There's one client I work with in Maryland, and they were completely not prepared. Especially from a giving standpoint.
Yeah.
So we were like basically within a 2-day period, like not doing anything else and working on getting their giving page to where all their forms so people could still give online.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's the lifeline of the church is the tithes and offerings. But a lot of them just aren't equipped to dealing with how things are so technology driven. And so what we do is provide a opportunity to help them, one, through those technological changes and challenges and getting them up to speed. That's one. Two, taking a look at their brand, because a lot of churches are very steeped in tradition. And you can't fish with the same bait that you fished with 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't work. And honestly, the millennials and Gen Zers, they are a different breed. And so you can't talk the same way to them and get them to understand the goodness of, you know, of Jesus the same way you've done that work for a grandma. You can't talk to me the way you talk to my grandmother.
Yeah.
If I'm a Gen Zer.
Right. Oh, definitely.
It doesn't work. So that's the biggest challenges that they have is like, how do we shift our message to make them want to come in and see what's going on?
Right. It's like a whole different species you're speaking to. If you go from somebody, let's say you maybe have somebody that's been in that's a minister, that's a pastor, that's been doing it, and maybe they're 70 and they know what they know, right? But how do you transfer that knowledge or communicate the benefit or excite somebody who's sitting there scrolling through TikTok all day and their dopamine levels are all jacked through their head, you know?
Right.
And saying, come into this quiet place and put down your phone may not be the most enticing message to somebody like that.
Right.
I don't envy the challenge. I will say that.
It's an uphill battle for some. Some have transitioned really nicely. Mm-hmm. And some have gotten stuck. So my job is to help those get unstuck.
So what are some ways that ministries are making an impact on social media? Like you said that some places are doing pretty well with this. What is working?
I have been very fortunate to be part of two ministries in the last... I was part of one ministry for 13 years and then recently relocated to Atlanta. And now I'm part of another ministry for like the last 6 months or so. And they're utilizing social media. They are utilizing all forms. So Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Nobody's really on X, which makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But they're utilizing reels and videos. Mm-hmm. There are so many platforms out there, and we're not, I don't want to like get deep dive into the AI stuff, but there are so many tools out there that you can take a whole sermon, drop it into a platform, and it breaks up 30-second snippets of the sermon. Yeah. And then once you pull that one, it'll add the captioning. You can have stuff happening, throw some music under there, and boom, all that within a couple minutes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And then you're pushing that. We know video is king. So then you're pushing that out amongst all your social media. And that is some of the things that's really working. Just that gets people engaged.
Yeah.
And engagement is what is really pushing the numbers for a lot of churches.
Can you explain, because you have a market your truth system that I saw on the 2911 media. Can you explain that a bit for all the marketers out there that love some specifics, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have market your truth for businesses because I do work with some small businesses. I'd say right now my business is about 50-50 small business and ministries. Mm-hmm. But I definitely have a heart for working with the ministries. So, and what the system does is the Market Your Truth system walks them through a branding process that, you know, helps them understand the challenge I have found with a lot of the small businesses and some with the churches. It's whatever the owner or the pastor likes. Mm-hmm. Then that's what goes. And maybe, especially with the small businesses, oh, my favorite color is, I'll just say orange. Well, orange doesn't speak to your target audience the way you want it to for whatever product you're selling.
Right.
So that's your favorite color. That's not necessarily going to work. So it's working with them to a lot. It's a lot of education mm-hmm. of explaining them like this. This is, you know, walking them through the process of branding their organization.
Yeah.
And their business, and then educating the best way of staying in front of them and relevant.
Right.
So it's 7-step processes for both. For both the business and the church. A church is a little bit different just because it's a different type of entity. So it's doing the branding, it's revamping a lot of how they're interacting, but it's also getting out into the community. Because that's the one thing that I've noticed for a church to be sustainable and for it to really, really grow, they can't do work inside the four walls.
Yeah.
It's got to get outside the four walls. And the church I worked with in Indianapolis that I served with for 13 years, they had their whole neighborhood on lock. Yeah. 'Cause there were schools all around. So they got to the schools and we did activities with the schools, with the kids. Well, if the kid comes home and say, Mom, I want to go to church on Sunday, the parents are going to take them.
Yeah.
And the parent might stay and, you know, and that's the one thing about the church there and the church here. When I walked into both first time, I felt like I was home.
That's wonderful.
Because a lot of people have a lot of, I mean, I know people that have a very, I'm not going to church because they're judgy and they're this and they're that. And it's just like, that's not exemplifying who Christ was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he welcomed everybody, everybody feel at home. So if you're sharing that and getting it to your community and giving back to your community in a way that way, that's what's going to draw people.
Yeah. If the person is to be born again and renewed, then what's the point in judging them? Right. You know, they're taking the first steps towards, you know, it's like walking into an AA meeting or something like that. And judge me. Like, so, you know, Don, it's been a real pleasure having you on PR 360. And I'd love to, have you back sometime down the road. There's a lot we didn't get to, but
well, I would love to come back. And especially we're working on some fun things here. So, definitely would love to come back and share, you know, how things are working, not only with ITSMF, but also, with, 2911 Media.
Great. So how can people follow you? How can they keep up? What's the call to action here?
Okay. If you're looking to follow ITSMF, we are at ITSMF Leaders across the board. Our website is itsmfleaders.org. And we're also actually launching March the 11th, Black Tech Execs. So it'll be blacktechexec.com. And it's basically going to be a hub and just to support and educate and nurture Black tech executives. If you're wanting to contact me, it's at 2911 Media, and it's the number 2, the number 9, the word 11 Media across all social platforms.
Love it. Thank you so much, Don, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you so much.
PR 360 was produced by Todd Perry in partnership with Global Results Communications. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review wherever you get podcasts. Follow GRC on all socials at Global Results. Follow Todd on Twitter at Todd A. Perry. That's Todd with one D. Talk to you next week.